إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, today if you look around the world, there is a huge pressure on everyone. It's not only on young people, but almost on everyone. There's a huge pressure to conform, to be within quotes, to belong, to be part of the dominant culture, whatever that culture is, and so on and so on. So there is a lot of pressure on everyone, and especially on young people. Those who do not conform are somehow rejected in one way or the other, and they don't have friends, and they're not part of the circle. They're not supposed to be in people, they're out people, and so on. So the question is, what must you do? Should you conform? Should you fall into that group? What I call the price of belonging. Should you pay that price of belonging? Or is it something that you should decide and say, in this case, the price is too high. I will not pay this price, because what I am losing by paying that price is not worth what I am gaining by belonging to that kind of group. So, is that a conscious decision that you should take, or should you just do what everyone else is doing? Now, for this, I want to tell you a story. The story is that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, one day he passed by a man who was making dua. And this man said, Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. He said, Oh Allah, make me among the few. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said to him, what is this dua? Who taught you to make this dua? Make me among the few, what is that? What is the few? So the man said, the kitab of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa qaleelum min ibadiyya shakur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and a few of my slaves are truly grateful. Most are not grateful. Allah said, only a few are grateful. So I want to be among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called, who Allah praised and said, these are my slaves who are grateful. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, this is the beauty of the Sahaba and their sincerity and ikhlas. He actually upbraided himself and he said, Oh Umar, everyone knows the deen better than you. That's his own way of his own personal humility. I mean, that's not actually a fact, but that's his humility. So, question is to ask ourselves is, do we want to belong and be among the many, or do you want to stay among the few? And what are the criteria based on which? It's not just a matter of being among the few. You can be among the few and be totally freaked out and, you know, be the most vague character in the world and there's only one like you. That doesn't make any sense. So, we are not talking about that. We are saying few, but people who are worthy of respect and people who are somebody to, who are icons, who are standard bearers, who are people that you can look up to. So, for that, I think the single most important thing is to change our mindset to from saying the world is responsible for me to I am responsible for the world. So, that's why I say the single most powerful change to transform the world is to move from the world is responsible for me to I am responsible for the world. And if you see the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is also what he said. He said that the ummah, the Muslim ummah, he said this is, each one is responsible for everyone and everyone is responsible for each one. Right? And in another hadith, he said that the Muslim ummah is like one body. When the head pains, the whole body knows that pain. So, this is something which is in the same connection. How concerned are we are? Now, I, some of you, those of you who know me, I teach leadership globally in many countries in the world. If you ask me and say, tell me in one word, what is it that I should do? Just one word, not two words, only one word. This is the word I would use. Differentiate. Differentiate. Don't be like everybody else. Differentiate. Because differentiation creates brand. Brand inspires loyalty, and loyalty enables influence. So my question to you, each one of you, is what is your brand? What is your brand? Because without brand, you are a grain of rice in a sack. You are still rice, but you are one grain in a sack. That you lived and you died, nobody knows, makes no difference. So what do you want to do? Do you want to create a brand for yourself? And if the answer is yes, then how to do that? So big question to ask is the majority worthy of being followed? Because many times you hear this statement from people, if you tell them don't do this, they say, oh, but everybody does it. And we hear this a lot of times, right? People say, don't do this, don't do that. But everyone does it. So let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about everyone. Allah said, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, most people are ignorant. Majority is ignorant. So do you want to be among the majority? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Most people are ungrateful. Right? They don't show gratitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about most people, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Most people do not believe. They have no faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Allah said, most of them are disobedient. They are fasiq. About most people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ. Most people are jahil. They are ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ مُوْرِدُونَ. Most are unaware of the truth and they turn away. So when we are saying, do we belong, should we belong to the majority, question to ask is, who is the majority? And who is the best one to tell us who is the majority? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And Allah has told us, this is what the majority. The majority is ignorant. The majority is disobedient. They are fasiqoon. The majority are jahiloon. The majority are, they're not thankful. And so on and so forth. So do we want to be part of that majority? Obvious answer is no, we don't want to be part of it. Then who do we want to be part of? So what is the few? Who are the few? Now see what Allah said about the few. And these are the people who differentiate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the few, Allah said, وَقَلِيلًا مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. Allah said, a few of the people are grateful. So, ways to differentiate, one is be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For whatever you do, be grateful to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his kalam by the words of shukr. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah said, all praise and all thanks is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabbul Alameen. Ibn Kathir, Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi in his tafsir Ibn Kathir, in this tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, of this ayah of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ibn Kathir narrates a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there was a man from among the people before you who made this following dua. And the man said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. The man said, O my Rabb, all praise and all thanks to you. Rabbi laka alhamd. How much? Kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik. In keeping with the magnificence and glory of your face. Wali azimi sultanik. And in keeping with the magnificence and glory of your kingdom. Everything we know, everything we don't know. So this man made this dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the malaika who record our actions, they had never heard this word before. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say, Allah, your slave made a dua and he used some words to praise you which we have never heard before. What reward should we write for him? Now remember, whenever you hear a hadith like this, Allah is not dependent on the malaika telling him anything. Allah knows already what the slave said. Allah knows what the slave is going to say even before the man thought about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the malaika to say this. In this particular case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the malaika, what did he say? Now that doesn't mean Allah knows. Why is Allah asking the malaika? Why is He asking the angels? Why? What did He say? Because He wants to establish the angels as witnesses for the man. So Allah said, what did He say? The angel said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, He said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wali azimi sultanik. The man said this, that, Oh Allah, all praise and thanks is to You in keeping with the glory and majesty of Your face and in keeping with the glory and majesty of Your kingdom. Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the malaika, record His words as He said them. I will reward Him in keeping with the glory and magnificence of My face, and I will reward Him in keeping with the glory and magnificence of My kingdom. This is the benefit of differentiating on one parameter alone, which is shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are differentiating on the basis of shukr, what do we do? What must we do? First of all, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think to yourself, how many times a day do I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just think about one thing. Supposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that tomorrow you will wake up only with what you thanked Me for today. If Allah made this, Allah does not do this, but I'm saying if Allah said this, that everything I gave you is from Me, tomorrow you will only have that which you thanked Me for today. What will happen? Some of us will wake up without eyes. Some of us will wake up without our limbs. Some of us will wake up without our parents. Some of us will wake up without children. There will not be a single person who will have whatever we have. Because I forgot to thank Allah for my wife. Khalas, tomorrow morning, no wife. Since most of you are women, you are keeping quiet. The men, they would say, Alhamdulillah. So I am saying, seriously, if you ask this thing and say, if I didn't thank Allah, it's gone. How terrible that would be. See the majesty of Allah. See the raham and see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though we don't thank Him, Allah continues to give us. Even though we don't thank Him, Allah still gives us. So this is the basis of the few. Who are the few? The ones who are thankful. Then again, who are the few? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا آمَنَا مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. About Hud alayhi salam. Allah said, only a few of them believed with Him. No one believed, but none believed with Him except a few. So, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our yaqeen. What is the manifestation, what is the proof of belief? Is salah. We said, La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. What is the proof of that? Salah. Time for worship, we pray. We said, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is my Nabi, He is my Rasul. What is the proof of that? Following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then again about the few, what did Allah say? Allah said, "Fi jannati na'im, thullatum min al-awwaleen, wa qaleelum min al-akhirin." In Surah Al-Baqiyah, Allah said, in the gardens of Jannah, large number of former people, meaning the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, and those people, and very few from the latter people, which is our generations before and after. So, who do we want to be? Among those few who are in Jannah, inshallah, we ask Allah for this. Yes? Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these few people. So, question to ask ourselves is, who do I want to be with? Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah said, tread the path of truth and do not feel lonely because there are few who take that path. And beware of the path of falsehood and do not be deceived by the vast number of the perishers. So, just because a lot of people are doing things, it does not mean that that thing is right. A lot of people tell lies. Is telling lies a good thing? Just because everybody does it? And so on and so on. Many, many things like this today in this world, they have become common. You know, most people do that. We don't care. Most people are not our teachers. Muhammad Rasulullah is our teacher. So therefore, we do what our Prophet taught us. Whether everyone does it or does not do it is not our concern. So how can we differentiate? I call these CTS actions, critical to success actions. There are three critical to success things we should do. Number one is define success. Make a statement for yourself and say, what do I understand by being successful? When do you want to be successful? Yes. What does success mean to you? Number two is become disciplined. Because success won't just come by wanting it. You've got to do something about it. Number three is to measure progress. Am I doing it? Am I not doing it? And all these three on the foundation of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Now, on the foundation, we come to the first, which is connecting with Allah. So, the question is, if you want to connect with Allah, we must know who Allah is. So, do you recognize Allah? Do you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? Is there a connection with you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is that connection? And what is the proof of that connection? How do I know this connection is there? Right? Let me tell you a story for that. This is a picture I took in Corbett National Park in India. See that little boy. That boy is about 10 years old. And he's sleeping on the head of the elephant. Right? It's a big, huge female elephant. He's sleeping on her head. We had gone for a safari on this elephant. We came back. And then this little boy climbed up. He came and stood in front of her. He gave her a command. She picked him up with her trunk and put him on top. So, he's sitting on her head. And he's gone to sleep. He's put his hands here. And this elephant went off into the forest to graze. Now, in India, in that forest, there are tigers. There are leopards. So, that boy's father was there. So, I asked the boy's father. I said, this is little son is maybe 10 years old or maybe may not even be that much. He's gone off into the forest. There are tigers and leopards in that forest. You're not afraid? The man tells me, sir, hathi hai na. He says, the elephant is there, no. I'm not afraid. I said, what do you mean? He said, she will look after him. How can a tiger attack him when he is on her head? Huh? She will look after him. Now, my question is, Ta'ala lahu al-amsal. We are not giving the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an elephant. My point is that confidence that the father has, the confidence that the son has, I am on my elephant. Nobody can do anything to me. My elephant will protect me. Whether it's a tiger, whether it's a leopard, I don't care. I am here on top of the elephant. Do we have that confidence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We just prayed Salatul Maghrib, Alhamdulillah. Do we have this confidence to say, Alhamdulillah? People say, no, look at this, look at that, this world, this is happening. I am Muslim, Alhamdulillah. I have confidence in my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Hey, something happens in the world, let it happen. Who cares? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of me. Do we have that connection or not? And unless we are working on it, now how does this boy have that connection? Because that boy looks after the elephant. So he knows the elephant, I take care of the elephant takes care of me. So do we follow and do we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the meaning of differentiation. So proof of connection is freedom from stress. And that is why the first priority is to demonstrate values, live values. It's not enough to talk. We have to demonstrate that. Because people listen with their eyes. People don't listen with their ears. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. Now, why values? Because values, they inspire confidence. They build our self-esteem. They provide a sense of purpose. And that's why I like this quote of Michael Harry. He said, values drive behavior. Behavior drives results. And in values, the most important value is that of integrity. Truthfulness and integrity in everything we do. All our actions, all our words, truthfulness and integrity. Integrity, because integrity is one of several paths, but it's the only one on which you will never be lost. Somebody's quote is not mine. But a very nice quote. Second one is, among the three parameters, we talked about the foundation, which is the foundation of values and connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the parameters, the first one is defining of success. So, what does success mean to you? What investment do you need to make? You know, for this, you need to differentiate between two terms. One is option, the other one is choice. For example, if you go into a shop, right? So, you walk into a store. See, Sainsbury's you walk into, or you walk into Harrods. Option is whatever is in Harrods. Right? You're sitting in London, so I'm using the, you know, London shop. So, if you walk into Harrods, if you say, what options do I have? Everything in Harrods is the option. But what choices do you have? Depends on how much money you have in your pocket. Yeah. I mean, there might be a diamond in the jewelry section of Harrods which is worth $2 million. Can you buy it? If you have $2 million, you can buy it. But if you don't have it, then that's not a choice, right? So, differentiate between these two things. And choices depend, as I said, on resources, on how much of effort you put into it. So, you might say, well, you know, options, well, I can do anything. Yeah, true, but what is that anything? If I want to be a pilot, I have to be prepared to go and go to private school and learn to fly and so on and so on and so on. If I'm not going to make that effort, then you will only watch other people flying. You will never do it yourself. And that's why it's very important to differentiate between being a master and being a victim. I call these the stances of success. Because in the life of every person comes a window of opportunity. And our window is open now. What is it we want to do? That window of opportunity is something which remains open for a short time. And if you, and you can only prepare, you can only take advantage of it if you are prepared. So, are we preparing ourselves for those windows of opportunity? Because essential truth is that life is a matter of making choices, choosing to be a master, choosing to be a victim. Boundary conditions remain the same, but the implications are extremely different. They're very different for masters and victims. That's why I always say, we are free to choose, but no choice is free. Every choice has a price tag. Just like the example I gave you of Harrods. You're free to choose anything in Harrods, but then you pick it up, at the checkout counter, you'll have to pay for it. And if you don't have the money, they'll tell you, put it back. Because, sorry, you can't take this. You don't have the money. And that's with life as well. We are free to choose. But are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to do what it takes to make it happen? What are the distinguishing features between victims and masters? And this is for us to check and see, where do I fit in? So, victims, they complain, they make excuses, they blame others. Very, very typical thing that you find, for example, somebody comes late. Right? You fix a meeting at 9 o'clock. The guy doesn't turn up until 10. So, what happened? You say, oh, well, you know, this happened, that happened. I went here, went there, traffic, whatnot. That 1 hour which is gone, is gone. Right? For example, let me give you another example. If I am walking in a fair, and I lose my wallet, and my wallet has money, it has credit cards, everything is gone. Now, I come home and I tell you, you know, Sister Fatima, this is what happened, and there was such a big crowd and whatnot, so on, so on. And you say to me, Sheikh, you know, it's okay. I mean, yeah, true. Obviously, it's not your fault. Will my wallet come back in my pocket? No. Loss is loss. So also. Now, in youth, you young guys, you've got a lot of options. Lot of options. And if you just look at them, the younger ones, the younger you are, the more options you have. As you grow older, options shrink. Yes? For example, for some jobs, there may be a particular age for you to apply for that job. Once you cross that age, then you are no longer eligible to write that exam. So, suddenly you wake up one day and you decide, oh, but I want to become this thing. You can't. You're already gone. The age is over. Some other jobs, for example, if you say, I want to become a world-class tennis player. I want to win Wimbledon. You know what age you need to start at? Tell me. Anybody? What age? You want to become a Wimbledon champion. What age must you start at training? Age 2. Not true. Age 2. Which means that actually that choice, your parents are making for you. I don't think there's any 2-year-old who thinks of champ becoming. And I'll give you a live example. Andre Agassi, till today, is known to have the strongest serve of any tennis player in history. You know how it started? Same age, 2 or 3. Andre Agassi was shorter than the tennis racket. That's when his father started him off on tennis. And then what his father did was, He wanted a, you know, the ball throwing machine which throws balls. He wanted a ball throwing machine which would throw the ball at 100 miles an hour, that speed. There wasn't anything in the market. So his father constructed a machine. He built a tennis court in his house, and they were middle class people. They didn't have a lot of money, but he invested the money, built a tennis court in his house, started his son off. Andre Agassi used to hit 2.5 million balls a year. And he did that for 20 years before he was 20 years old or 25 years or whatever it was when he came to Wimbledon. So now you can't beat him, because this guy, there's no one who's been hitting 2 million balls. So, you know, it's like that, right? Tiger Woods, for example, his father started him off in golf when Tiger Woods was shorter than a golf club. So he got his ball clubs. So the point I'm making is, the younger you are, the more options you have. The quicker you make this choice and say, this is what I want to become, I'm going to start investing, you are successful. Because once you grow older, even if you want it, you have lost that time. That time is not going to come back. That's gone. And that does not mean you lose hope. Just pick something else. At any age, there's something you can still do. So try to do that, right? But the sooner you start, the better off you are. So what do you want to be? The price of success, therefore, as I've been saying here, you're free to choose, but every choice has a price tag. And so therefore, success has a price tag. If I want to buy a Hyundai, there's a price tag. If I want to buy a Rolls Royce, there's a different price tag. A car is a car is a car, but it's not a car, right? So there's this brand and there's that brand. Just like that, depending on what I want to be successful at, I must be prepared to invest that in myself. In this case, the price is not something you're paying somebody else. It is your own investment in yourself. And therefore, it's a question to ask yourself and say, what is the price of my success? What do I want to do? All right? And are you willing to make that investment? And for that, the little exercise for you to do in your free time, which is to say, what investment do I want to make to be a master? So what must I start doing? What must I stop doing, and what must I continue to do? One of the first things that you should start doing if you are not doing is the amount of reading you do. How many of you have read one book in the last 1 month? Something which was beneficial for you. How many people? 1, 2, 3, 4. Very nice. Alhamdulillah. So several of you are doing that. Very good. Now this is the differentiator. If you do that and on a continuous basis, if you are reading, you get knowledge. Those of you who are not reading, time to wake up and start reading. All right? Okay. And that's where we move from the issue of being to doing. I want to be this, I want to be that. Whatever you want to be, what do you need to do in order to be? That's the key thing, right? So, you say, I want to be a millionaire. Very nice. So, what do you need to do in order to be a millionaire? And being a millionaire is that kind of a goal is ridiculous, because you can be a millionaire in many ways, many of which are illegal and bad ways. So you don't want to be a millionaire like that, like a, you know, drug lord or something. No, you want to be a millionaire in a decent way where, you know, you will also earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is where we need commitment to yourself, to your own goal. And that's why I say commitment is a line between wanting and doing. We want many things, but are we doing something to get that? So for that, let me play this movie for you. Look at this. There's a lioness hunting a zebra. You just see what she does. All right. Do you see what she did? She leaped on the back of the zebra, grabbed him, and then she somersaulted over the top, but she didn't let go. And then the zebra literally sort of fell on top of her, but she still did not let go. A zebra weighs around 450 kilograms, almost half a ton. But she did not let go. That is the meaning of commitment. Commitment means to, when you are there, you do whatever it takes to make it happen. Right? So there's a difference between being goals and doing goals. Being goals, yes, I want to be this, be that. Yes, it's inspirational. It gets you charged up. But unless we make the effort, action orientation, present focus, if I want to be something, what did I do today? Yeah. Supposing you say, I want to be a doctor. Question I will ask you is, what are you reading about medicine? How many doctors do you know? Have you been inside a hospital? Have you seen how an operation is done? What is it that is taking you to that being a doctor? Yeah. And that's why I say, to be, you have to do. To do, you don't have to be. And until you do, you will never be. All right. Second one is to become disciplined. Disciplined is to do what you need to do, not only what you want to do. So, if you say, I want to be strong, the question is, how much weight are you pumping? How much weight are you lifting? How many miles are you running? What are you doing? I mean, the whole issue is this action. What is the action that you are taking? You say, well, I'm taking action. Every day I lift this spoon from the table to my mouth, and every spoon has got 50 grams of ice cream in it. Yeah. Doesn't work like that. So, it's like Muhammad Ali, the boxer. He said, if anyone says, I enjoy going to the gym, he said, he's a liar. He said, nobody enjoys going to the gym. You go to the gym because you have to go to the gym. Because there is no choice. Right? So, think about that. The whole point is, I mean, you might still enjoy going there. That's a different matter. But I'm saying that, seriously, to become disciplined is to do what you need to do, whether you like it or you don't like it. And the third one is to measure progress. Many times we get confused between action and result. So, I'm so busy, I'm working so hard. Question is, what is the result? You may be working very hard, but there's no result. So, should you really be working in that way, or should you change the way you work? I'm not saying change the goal. Don't change the goal. But maybe the way you're working is just not efficient enough. So, you know, what do I need to change in that? That is very, very important. Because assets is what you can measure. I mean, if you can't measure it, it's not an asset. And that's why, in terms of achieving excellence, we must look at what are our enablers and what are our inhibitors. I say this many times, that to be among the many or among the few. So, sheep have plenty of company. The leopard walks alone. That's the picture I took in Sri Lanka just now. Leopard. And so, I will leave you with my final slide, which is my motto in life. I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. Because no matter who you are, there will always be things in your control and always be things not in your control. Many times we don't do what is in our control, but we talk about what is not in our control. So, leave that. What is not in my control, forget about that. What can I do as a person? That is what, if I focus on, inshallah, I will be successful. And that is my website and my email. And it will be a pleasure to hear from you. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.